Today's episode is brought to you by Roman numerals. I, for one, like them. Welcome to episode 8 of Wait, What Just Happened? I'm Terrence.
And I'm Megan.
And Bailey has the week off. And I want to say yet again, but she was on previous episode. It was you that had the week off, right, Megan?
It was. Yeah, we're just alternating, you know?
Well, that's okay. I might have a permanent week off. We are under a tornado warning right now in my county. So this should be a fun show. I'm paying attention to both the weather and what's going on in our show. So goodness gracious. If I hear something that sounds like a freight train and I suddenly leave, well, the show will never be released anyway. But anyway, it should be fun. So I'm kind of anxious to hear what's going to happen. I'm sure it'll be okay. But thank you for tuning in for another episode. And as I was listening to another podcast this past week, they were talking about some of the most ridiculous laws in their communities. So I figured, as crazy as our states are, it would be fun to share some of the most dumbest laws or bylaws in our state.
Well, I reign from Florida, so we all know crazy things happen here. But this one, there's a couple. I'll read a couple. So I found this website that just lists like crazy laws in all of the states. I hope that these are legit. I kind of hope they're not because they're ridiculous. So the first one is women may be fined for falling asleep under a hairdryer, as can the salon owner. So like when you're at a salon, maybe it's a fire hazard.
Well, yeah, I can see it like that. But wow, that's pretty insane. But in a weird way, it makes sense. Yeah, if you fall asleep and your hair catches on fire, they don't want to be liable. But the reason why there has to be a law for this in the first place, I assume, is because somebody's already done it. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a crazier one, though. If an elephant is left tied to a parking meter, the parking fee has to be paid just as it would for a vehicle.
Who would tie an elephant to a parking meter? Okay. Who would use an elephant as a mode of transportation, firstly, you know?
Especially in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of wild elephants here, so.
That's pretty crazy. And only in Florida, too.
Okay, I've got one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more. It is illegal to sing in a public place while attired in a swimsuit.
It is illegal. Okay, hang on. No, you're going to have to say that again because, like, I mean, I got it, but what?
It's illegal to sing in a public place.
Okay.
While attired in a swimsuit. Is this like specific to like crazy spring break Miami or something?
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
And very specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
No Only joke. While in a swimsuit.
All right. Well, next time I go down to Florida to the beach, I know I'm not going to, you know, be busting out some J-Lo or anything like that.
No,
or
no singing.
I mean, no High School Musical, no Greatest Showman or anything like that. So good to know. Maybe I should start writing these down. Okay, so some of the weirdest laws in Texas. I mean, because Texas has some crazy ones. And these are still enforceable. Get this. No drinking while standing. It's illegal to take what? More than 3 drinks of a beer while standing up. And it's not completely why this became a law. Yeah.
You can't. I do that all the time.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder how bars are able to stay in business, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's why they have bar stools. I don't know. Okay, get this. You can't eat out of your neighbor's garbage without permission.
Isn't it? Well, I guess maybe this is by state, but I kind of thought that, like, especially if it's on the curb, I guess maybe it's different if it's in their yard still. But, like, it's considered public domain if it's, like, on the curb in the trash.
Right, right.
Interesting.
All right. 24-hour notice. Get this. Those planning to commit a crime in Texas are required by law to provide their victims with 24 hours written or verbal notice. The law was put on the books in an effort to reduce crime. I can't say that with a straight face.
I wonder if it actually reduced any crime.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd like to see the numbers on that.
Okay, so this one is in my area. Flirting. Get this. Flirting with the eyes or hands is illegal in San Antonio, Texas. This law is enforceable to both men and women. Well, I would have been in jail a long time.
Interesting.
Okay, the last one that I'm going to go ahead and say, because I could go all day with this, but this one is wedding bells. Texas is a common law marriage state. Therefore, two willing parties who are over the age of 18, unmarried and are not related, are legally married if they publicly announce they're married 3 times.
That's an affordable option to a wedding.
That is very affordable.
It just boggles my mind. Like, how do they even, like, how does one even try to, like, enforce this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what would happen if you did? I mean, obviously, it's on the side of the law, you know? It's, I don't even know. My head's hurting just thinking about this kind of stuff, because it's literally garbage, which, by the way, don't eat, because it could land you in hot water. I don't get it. But that is the law of the land, I'm afraid. And like I said earlier, it wouldn't be a law if somebody hadn't already done something like that. You know, that's pretty intense, pretty insane.
Truth.
Well, moving on, a big thank you to Tim for making me do my homework on banknotes. Tim replied to us on social media. I'll explain what that means. So last episode, we mentioned that two women tried to pay with a $1 million bill at a dollar store. For the full scoop on that story, listen to our previous episode. But Tim responded to us on Twitter and said there might have been $1 million bill at one time. So I decided to do some research on the subject. And in fact, the largest denomination at the United States Treasury ever printed was one $100,000 bill in 1934, and it was like a gold note or something like that, but it was never circulated. So
interesting.
Pretty cool there. So yeah, $1 million bills do not exist.
I wonder if they still
have it. Oh, I'm sure
it's like, I wonder if they still have that. Like, is it framed? Where is it? I want to see it.
Maybe at the Smithsonian, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe. That's kind of cool.
Some museum. Yeah, it has, I was going to say it has Homeboy, and everybody knows who Homeboy is. It has Woodrow Wilson's picture on the front of it, and it is it's called a gold certificate. And I'm looking at it right now. We'll include the link in the show notes, but on the back of it, it has like kind of this, instead of that classic green ink, it has the yellow ink or the gold ink. It actually looks even orange, but that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here it says it's from the National Museum of American History, which is in D.C.
Yeah. But thank you, Tim, for pointing that out to us and all that good stuff. I'll tell you one guy that did get paid maybe $100,000 over the time that he was supposed to be working. Yes, I said supposed to be working. An Italian man is accused of skipping work for 15 years straight. 15 years straight. That is somebody that...
I want his skill.
Okay. So, in fact, he did... Okay, so it says... the article says that they busted him. The Italian prosecutors busted him for 538,000 euros, which translates to $647,000 over 15 years without ever showing up to his hospital job. That is crazy. He's been dubbed the king of absentees. And it just kind of makes me wonder how he was able to cross the books for so long.
I mean, that's... So, like, you know, you can't be mad at him completely, because, like, there's clearly somebody else who was not doing their job to make sure that this guy was coming in. Like, who was his manager?
Well, yeah, I mean, and yeah, not only his manager, but I mean, they've got to realize that, oh, you know, I don't know, whose shift was it supposed to be? Oh, it's Salvatore's. He's got it. Yeah, he's been on the books
right,
for a while. Man, he's a great guy. He's a hell of a worker. I barely hear a peep out of him, you know, something like that. I don't know. That's what you would expect out of normal, you know, person. But I just don't understand, because, like, whenever you do the books, you've got to know who's on your staff. You've got to know. I mean, this had to raise the attention of somebody in the accounting team, I would imagine.
Yeah. Or like HR, something, nothing. Nobody noticed. And of course, I mean, I'm not saying that he should just like get the money and run, but also it's more than his fault.
Yeah.
You know, that this was able to happen for as long as it did.
Human resources at the hospital did not notice, and it's unclear what brought it all to light, but the hospital launched a disciplinary action against the man last year and also alerted the authorities. He was fired in October after 15 years. I wonder if he can collect unemployment. And later arrested as a part of an investigation dubbed Operation Part-Time. investigators say the arrest came after they conducted extensive witness interviews and reviewed attendance logs at the hospital. I mean, I think he should have to pay at least half of that back. But I don't know. I'm not well versed in Italian law, so I don't know what's going to happen. So
I just think about that. I mean, it's completely different than here, because I know that I believe in Italy, you're guilty until proven innocent instead of the other way around, like here.
That's gotta suck.
It's probably not looking too good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, no joke. Well, I'll tell you somebody who's not who it's not looking good for either, and it's going to be this teacher in this next story who got drunk and took students to a strip club on a school trip. The teacher's been banned for 3 years. This is UK edition, so I guess we're doing Europe edition. We're traveling this episode. We're going across the pond. But this was while the class was on a school trip to Costa Rica. Like I said, the guy's been banned from teaching for 3 years. He also threatened students and exposed himself to a woman in his hotel room.
I'm trying to figure out how this only got him banned from teaching for 3 years.
Yeah, because after 3 years, he can just go back to the... I mean, it's like a long vacation. I don't get it. Okay, so there was no malice or no sexual intent in taking the students to the lap dancing club, he said. He said that he was so drunk that he was unable to remember the night's events, although he did accept the allegations of those who were there. And it looks like in order to become a teacher, again, he's going to have to apply for the ban to be lifted after the 3 years.
So I guess it's a little bit harsher than just, okay, you can come back.
Yeah.
I love the line in here that says, his behavior was seemed to be so unacceptable that he was sent home early from the trip. Well, really?
He's lucky he wasn't arrested. He's lucky he wasn't arrested on the spot, you know?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this guy should be counting his lucky stars that all he got was sent home early and banned from teaching for 3 years. He took 16-year-olds to a strip club.
It's not funny, but it's just students. Like, it's one of those things that you can't believe has happened. I mean, you hear some pretty crazy things that teachers and students kind of get into, in the news. And I mean, this is just one that really didn't cross my mind at all. I never thought that a teacher would take students to a strip club, but
in Costa Rica. Never,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to Costa Rica, like take me to a coffee farm.
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't thinking at all. And I'll tell you who wasn't thinking, the cops. They don't seem to be doing much thinking nowadays anyway. But in Washington...
Like, that doesn't sound too weird.
Say, wait, this seems on point here. Two police officers were... two police cars were totaled after a couple of officers decided that they wanted to drag race. I know we've all seen that scene in The Fast and the Furious, you know, where the cop cars race each other and stuff like that. But these guys, wow, they took it to a whole new level. So in the email from the commander of that particular division, it says, yesterday, 2 6D scout cars were totaled because officers decided instead of fighting crime, patrolling their beats, or engaging the community, they decided to drag race each other on Anacostia Avenue at 5 p.m. in the evening. Sources say that email went out to command staff following the crash Thursday. Impaired judgment. This really gets into a bigger issue with the police, but boy, some people just are not making the best judgment calls lately.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is, you know, there's already conversations going on about how much money the police departments should be getting and whatnot. And like, this is what they decide to do with their time. This.
Yeah. Yeah. The officers are going to face disciplinary action. But it doesn't say what action that will be. I'm just trying to read the article here. I think that at the very least, the command staff is saying they're going to have discussions about speeding and driving recklessly with others, with officers. But I mean, that's pretty much the extent of what they're willing to divulge publicly.
So they're probably going to get a slap on the wrist like they do with everything.
Oh, here's a follow up. Officers have not been issued tickets, in alleged drag racing incidents. It's okay. A local media outlet is pushing for answers, and they have not been charged with reckless driving. They have not been ticketed yet. If I go 94 and a 65, I get a ticket. Okay.
They also took a fence out.
They did. Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures right now. This is crazy.
Well, I hope that they had to pay for that at least. I mean, at the least.
At the very least, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so a follow-up to the disciplinary. They're subject to an internal affairs investigation and in the meantime have had their police duty suspended while in a non-contact role. Okay, so maybe there's going to be answers to this in the next couple of days or so, or the next couple of weeks. I'm going to follow this one.
We should give an update.
Well, here's an update for you. This woman didn't want this update. She is charged with a felony. And this is happening in Oklahoma. This isn't in Florida, Texas, California, any of those, you know, any of the normal states, you know, with this kind of crap. But an Oklahoma woman was charged with a felony for not returning a VHS tape 21 years ago. I can't make this up. Online documents show Karen McBride is a wanted woman for never returning Sabrina the Teenage Witch on VHS tape in 1999. The first thing she told me was felony embezzlement, so I thought I was going to have a heart attack, McBride said. She first learned about the charges while trying to change her name on her license after getting married in Texas. Oh, gee, Texas is brought into it. Fantastic. She said, I went to change my driver's license during this COVID thing. You had to make an appointment, and so I sent them an email, and they sent me an email, and they told me that I had an issue in Oklahoma. There was a reference number for me to call the number, so I did. The number was actually to the Cleveland County District Attorney's Office, where a woman told her about the charges that were filed against her. She told me it was over the VHS tape, and I had to make her repeat it because I thought, this is insane. This girl is kidding me, right? She rented the video back in March of 2000, and the movie was rented at a place called Movie Place in Norman, Oklahoma, which is no longer open. So I don't get it.
Can we talk about how the picture of this VHS tape is literally like a homemade recording Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Like, it's got like the Sony stickers on it that you would like write your own little descriptions of on the tape. Like, it looks like she borrowed this from a friend. I don't know if I can believe that this was rented from an actual video rental store.
Yeah, this is, well, probably why they went out of business, among other things. Okay, so reading on in the article, it says that the of course the business closed down in 2008, and an attorney with one of the local law firms told the media outlet reporting the story that even though there's technically no victim in the case because of the business closure, they could still prosecute the case because charges and a warrant were filed against the person that rented it. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to deceive anyone over Samantha or Sabrina, the teenage witch, I swear. Poor thing. I mean, just dismiss this already. Like, let's get this out of the way. Let's stop tying up the legal system with a bunch of BS.
It says, okay, hold on. I kept reading, and it says now, that on Wednesday, the DA's office said after reviewing her case, they've decided to dismiss it, but she will need to get her case expunged in order to clear her record moving forward.
Oh, okay. So more time and more money this poor
felony woman has embezzlement
to...
felony embezzlement for an old VHS tape. Have you watched that documentary on Netflix called The Last Blockbuster?
Yes, and I loved it.
I loved it too.
Yeah,
it gave me nostalgia.
It makes me want to go visit that location.
I know, me too.
But I also thought there was, okay, so there's like a total of 9 Blockbusters left, right? Or was that the last, just the
that's
last one?
Actually, so like when I was watching it, I was getting confused too, because I thought that there was only that one in Portland. But the reason why they talk about, like in the beginning, I think they say that there's 9, but then like this documentary follows over a span of like three or four years. So like at the beginning of when they were filming, there were 9, but then by the end of the documentary, she's the last one. And oh. So there's only one now.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
It was crazy.
Oh,
but... And I followed them on Instagram. They sell awesome nostalgic Blockbuster merchandise.
Like
FYI.
T-shirts and hoodies.
Yeah, cool
and
t-shirts.
Bumper stickers too.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of cool stuff. Oh my God. I'm going to go watch that as soon as we're done here. The Last Blockbuster,
Blockbuster.
On Netflix. It's making a comeback. I can feel it. So last week, we didn't have any stories about Florida or Texas or California. I at least not to my knowledge. Maybe Florida it was. But we couldn't end this week without having a Florida story. So the lead on this story is Florida couple tried to have their wedding at a stranger's mansion without permission. The first thing that comes to mind is, how can something like this even happen?
Yeah, like, how do you even organize this? So, I mean, yeah. That takes skill to organize this.
So they invited guests to their wedding at their quote-unquote dream home and estate. The only problem was they didn't own it, and they didn't get permission to use it. It was a 16,300-square-foot mansion, and it has everything. You know, a bowling alley, a swimming pool, a waterfall, a hot tub, tennis courts, a gazebo, and an 800-foot bar. I think that should be 800-square-foot bar. One of the ladies said it was God's plan that the couple marry there. But despite what the invitation inferred, the actual owner, which was Nathan Finkel, never gave them permission to hold the festivities there. And he was stunned when they showed up on this past Saturday morning to set it up. And he called police. And he says, I've got people trespassing on my property and they keep harassing me and calling me. They say they're having a wedding here and it's God's message. I don't know what's going on. All I want is for it to stop. And they're sitting at my property right at the front gate right now. Two officers
That's
came by
so
eventually.
Random.
They told them they would have to leave. So they did, and no charges were filed. And trying to get a quote out of one of the individuals, and they just said, I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, the house is beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's a gorgeous house, and I'm sure it would be a wonderful place to have a wedding. Just make sure you have.
Yeah, you just have to like pay for it.
Permission. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a resort. I can't believe that's a house.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they did get a marriage license. It was issued by Broward County a couple weeks ago, but they had not registered to marry. They had not registered as married by this past Wednesday. Well, then.
I wonder, like, what they said to all of their guests. Like, didn't they tell their guests where the wedding was? And then, like, did people show up and they just were turned away?
Uh-huh.
That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. They'd be like, oh, no. I mean, that's... It's really got to suck for the people that were attending, you know?
What if people traveled?
Yeah. Made plans to get there, and then all of a sudden... Well, I guess they got a free trip. Not a free trip, but they got a trip to Florida out of it.
Maybe they went to Disney.
Probably. Probably, I'm willing to bet. Well, that's all this week's news stories. Let's talk about social media. This week, we're going to be talking about the end user. A few months ago, you may have remembered that we had a wonderful interview with Sydney Mook, who is the managing editor now at the Grand Forks Herald, about the big tech companies and their responsibility to police their own platforms. Well, today I wanted to talk about social media responsibility on the part of the end user. Now, I want to start out by saying, I mean, it's easy for us to, you know, sit here and say, oh, kids nowadays, they don't understand consequences and things like that. But I mean, really, what today's kids don't know is that what you post today will affect you tomorrow and years to come. And with the way that social media is, you know, is happening right now, it'll follow you for 5, 10, 15 years from now. And this could affect college applications, job prospects, community responsibility, how you're perceived. And it's essentially a form of character credit. Now, while freedom of speech does in fact mean freedom of speech, it does not mean freedom of consequences. Let's start there. What kind of responsibility does the end user have to post accurate information online? I mean, does that fall on squarely on the shoulders of the end user, or, you know, or do the platforms have responsibility to police that as well?
I mean, I think if you're talking about, you know, I think one of the best examples of that in action is just gonna be the election cycles. Obviously, yes, you as the end user, you would hope that before you share things, you're checking your sources, seeing where this came from, do a quick Google search to see if you can find it elsewhere, find it from a reputable source. But also, I think the responsibility lies with both. I do think that it's big tech's responsibility, to some extent, to police fake news going around. I mean, they really offer a platform that makes it so easy to spread information so quickly that I think it should be put on them slightly, just because, they offer fact checking sources, and it needs to get better, because I think that some of the, I mean, just like listening to Mark Zuckerberg's, him talking like to Congress about like the different platforms that they use for fact checking and how like even those aren't really perfect yet. I think that this all just kind of got thrown at them really quickly, because they didn't really anticipate what they created, I think. So we're still learning, but at the end of the day, like, it can come, you know, it comes down to both. Like, yes, they should be policing it, but also you have a responsibility in yourself to just like check what you're sharing. And it's not that hard to check either.
So with all that being said, do you believe that people should be held accountable for what they say online? I mean, should that prohibit them from getting a job? Should that prohibit them from, getting admission to that college that they want? Because I feel like a lot of times people don't understand the power that social media wields and the way that it amplifies your voice, because you could really say something that's off the wall that you didn't intend to go one way, goes a complete opposite direction, and is taken out of context. So do you think that, you know, people should be held liable for what they say and then the actions that follow that?
I think yes. I know that that can kind of like potentially be controversial, but you have to realize that your social media is viewed as, I mean, it's a profile that's meant to encompass who you are. So only share things that you feel comfortable other people knowing that you either agree or disagree with, or they are meant to be curated. So it's not, again, freedom of speech does mean freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean that you can just say things and not expect to have any consequences from them, because colleges, jobs, those are all private companies, private institutions who can, allow or not allow certain opinions in those places. I mean, it's like celebrities, you know, if you think of like all the celebrities who say something really stupid on Twitter 5-10 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's found and it doesn't look so hot now, because maybe we weren't as a country or as like a people caring about that at that moment in time, even though we should have been, but now it's come to light, and they have to speak for what they said and explain their way out of it, or talk about why they said those things, or they, you know, become a part of cancel culture. It's It's controversial, but yeah, I do think that you need to be held accountable for it to a certain degree, at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree with that. I believe that if, I mean, there's a reason why you have to be 13 years of age or older to be able to use
exactly.
the majority of these platforms. And it's not saying that, you know, 99% or 100% of 13-year-olds or older people are going to completely understand the impact that social media is going to have on their lives. Because, I mean, because once you get on it, it's hard to get off of it. And it's hard to delete that footprint mm-hmm. from online. Now, if you've never gotten on it before, then, you know, you have a little bit more of a leg up. But yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything that you said. I mean, even brands are looking at it now and brands are like, oh, crap, we can't be associated with this person that said this horrible thing 7 years ago whenever Twitter was just a baby and still trying to figure its way out. No, they, you know, people have a very linear way of thinking, and it I mean, unless they, it's possible to change your way of thinking, but 90% of the time, it's like, if you thought one way back then, you're still probably going to think that way now, unless you mm-hmm. have experienced some sort of event that will make you see the other side of the story, make you want to process how that other side actually feels and things like that. And I know it's getting very political with that, and that's not where I want to go with it. But all I want to say is that, yeah, I mean, you have to understand you're held liable. You're held accountable for what you say, when you say, and who you say it to.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love to hear everybody's thoughts on this. If you want to send us an email, we'll be happy to read it on the show, wwjhpodcast@gmail.com. I think this is a very interesting discussion to have, and I know we barely scratched the surface of it, but it's something that I am very interested in, that I'm very passionate about, because I feel like this is going to be the future. You know, somebody that made it TikTok today at the age of 14 is going to look for that Harvard admission letter, you know, 6 years down the line or 4 years down the line, and it's not going to happen because they said something or did something. So it's going to be interesting to follow over the years. Okay, well, that's that. Let's move on. There is I don't think we've come up with a segment name for this, but I think that it's, I don't know, what we have is pretty good. Ooda Lally, Disney Lally, which are strange facts about Disney.
So I only have one today, but my wife actually told me this one. She found it online and I didn't even know it, so it's kind of cool. But I thought that this was neat. So Lilo and Stitch, the movie, is called Lilo and Stitch. But did you know that Lilo in Hawaiian can be translated into lost? So it's meant to be like lost and then stitched together.
Oh my gosh, that is...
Isn't that so cute?
Cool. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It, like, I mean, there are a lot of like, the direct translation is like give up, but can also be interpreted as lost. So they only have so many letters. I think that it could also be dependent on like how you pronounce it. But yeah, I think that like the gist of it is that it was meant to be, because like Lilo is so lost in that movie, you know, and then Stitch makes her whole again.
Aww,
and I thought that was really cute.
That is cute. God, Disney, they really do their homework with the etymology stuff, don't they?
They do.
Well, it's about that time for real shit or bullshit.
Oh, man.
I love this
game. I have no help today either. This is all on me.
You are in the hot seat today. All right. So real shit or bullshit. Seattle hospital overrun by squirrels.
Squirrels? I'm going to go real shit. There's a lot of like trees and stuff in Seattle. There's probably a lot of squirrels.
I have to ask, is that your final answer? No, I'm kidding.
It's my final answer.
Okay. It is actually bullshit.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fell for it.
All right. Next one. We lost count after 800. Video shows California home overrun by migrating birds.
real shit?
That is real shit, yeah. Man throws coins into plane engine for good luck.
Oh god, I hope that's bullshit.
It's real shit.
Oh my god.
All right, here's a brain buster for you here. Disney Parks, now offering cassette tours for nostalgic visitors.
Bullshit.
Is bullshit, yeah. I am glad that you know that now.
I know all the Disney facts. If that was true, I would do it.
Police arrest Arizona man after finding his severed finger.
Real shit?
It is real shit, yeah.
Arizona showing up with some weird shit.
That's it. Let's go up to Canada for this one. British Columbia skydiver sues for being pushed out of plane.
Real shit.
That is bullshit. I'm sure that's happened because it sounds like something.
It sounds real.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
Thank
on
you.
That one.
Thank you. And that's actually it. That's our last one for the week. So, okay, you did pretty well. There was a couple of them out there that were out there.
I got the Disney one, you know. I'm proud of myself for that.
That's what counts, the Disney one. But I will keep my eye out for migrating birds and some squirrels as well. Yeah. Well, I think it's about that time that we get out of here. It's been a weird episode. Oh, quick update for everybody here. So as we've been recording, we've been still in this tornado warning. It is hailing currently. I hear it smacking against the windows, and you guys might hear it on the recording if the noise filter doesn't filter it out. But I can hear it smacking against the windshield of my car as well. So that's fantastic. I got to go out and take a look at that. And also, it flooded right in my house right next to me.
Oh, my gosh.
And my wife was so wonderful in cleaning that up. But, yeah, it is. That's how hard it's raining right now. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm.
Be safe.
I definitely am. I'm going to get out of here before I have to swim to the couch. But if you've enjoyed the show today, please tell a friend about our podcast. Chances are, if you like it, they'll like it too. Also, don't forget to leave us a review wherever you're listening. We would greatly appreciate that. You can follow the show on Twitter at WWJH Podcast, or on Instagram WWJH Podcast. And I think that's about it. Go ahead and get out of here for this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Until next time, if you ever get cold, just stand in the corner of a room for a while. They're normally around 90 degrees.